It is 12 o'clock. I'll call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistant District Board of Managers meeting for Monday, February 24th, 2020. We'll move to item two. Do we have any agenda announcements? Move to item three. Consider approval of consent agenda.
Move approval of consent agenda.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Move to item four.
We have Ms. Lowe here from the T.O. Brown and Hill Agency is going to go over our audit report.
Yes. Good afternoon, I guess. It's after 12 o'clock, right? I'm Paula Lau with Patil Brown and Hill, and I'm here today to present to you the comprehensive annual financial report for Tarrant County 911. What I want to do today is just kind of go over a couple of highlights and let you know about the audit results as well. In regards to the audit results, we do have two reports that we've issued within the category that you see here. And on page one, if there's our independent audit report, we have rendered an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion, and it's all the highest opinion that can be rendered as well. So those are good, positive results for the district. As well as we issued another report in accordance with government auditing standards. And in that report, if we come across something with discussions and during our audit process that we feel like controls are not where they need to be in order to detect some misstatements and these financial statements, we're required to put that information in here, and I'm happy to let you know that we do not have anything to bring to your attention there as well. So, you might remember in the past, it was 5 years ago when the district actually put together the comprehensive annual financial report for the first time. The 2018 report did receive the award from GFOA again this year for the fifth consecutive year. Basically, it requires a lot more information than just what a normal annual financial report includes. And that the report did get sent off to the GFOA, the Government Financial Officers Association, and did receive the Award of Excellence there as well. One of the things in the report that I just wanted to point out to you is just what ending fund balance is for the district. And you'll find the balance sheet for district on page six of the report. The far right column, you'll see total fund balance for the district in snapshot in time, September 30th, 2019. The balance was $21.4 million. I kind of give you a snapshot in time there. As everyone knows, I do believe this was our first full year without Melinda Oliver being here and handling the financial information for the district. I know that was a significant change for you guys because she'd been here for quite some time. But everything went very well this year as well. Linnell's come in and his group, they've done a great job too. So it's nice to know that, you know, things can continue on and doing well. But that's just a brief overview and just a couple of the results. Note that it was a great audit. We were able to render an unmodified opinion, and just wanted to let you know too how things were in transition without Melinda being here as well, because that's very important. I know she's a valuable employee to everyone here. But if you have questions, I'm more than happy to answer those as well.
Any questions for Ms. Lowe? It's not.
Nope.
Sounds,
right.
Thank you very much for the report.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Seeing that there's nothing on item five, I guess we'll move straight to item six. Presentations.
All right. We'll start off with the Texas 911 activities, starting on page 13 in your packet. We had discussed in our last meeting about getting the knowledge out to our districts, reference the ability to text 911. And I thought it was interesting to include the survey that we had done last year. One of the questions asked in the survey we had done around this time last year was about the adults' knowledge of text 911. And if you notice in the at the bottom there, it says that in Tarrant County, 24% of the folks thought that they could already text 911. And with the more or less census information gathered just through regulating move-in population, housing, et cetera, as I anticipated, we have 1.2 million individuals over the age of 21. So 25% of that is about 303,000 people that already think, adults that already think that they can do text 911. On top of that, as you know, the last going on 3 years, we've reached out to more than 30 schools. And one of the questions that we ask in the schools is to the children, can you text the 911? And I think Abby said, with the exception of one student, they all said yes. Mm-hmm. So it is a thought that everybody, or a large quantity of our population, already believes we have that capability. I thought that was interesting to share. We did do the research. We have been asking the question just to get a feel of what our community thinks. At the request of the board, we did do a survey to all of the PSAPs out in our district, reference 6 and 911, and we solicited questions from the PSAPs, reference 6 and 911. We did not get any PSAPs that said they would not be doing text and 911. We did have a meeting, getting over an allergy episode last week, so I apologize. And that was with White Settlement, and we actually met with their chiefs and their leadership last week to answer any of their questions directly. Page 14 are the questions that we received through the survey. So I went ahead and took the questions and put answers to them, and we will be sending that out in both the weekly brief and a email to the PSAP leadership to answer their questions. The majority of the questions were normal questions, things solely expected. One of them was concerns about text being anonymous and can they be traced. The reality is that we're still using a cell phone to text. And so the same tools that we have now to trace phones would be used then. One advantage is, in order for someone to text, they have to have a data plan. So unlike the uninitialized 911 phones where someone can dial 911 and we can get virtually no information on those, for texting, we actually have a greater opportunity to get subscriber information than we would for a non-initialized phone. There was a question about transferring, a question that a board member also had. Yes, we can transfer. We can not only transfer within our network with all the information to call, as well as any network in our area that has text and 911 capabilities. Let's see here. We had a request or a question about PubMed information, and I let the Woolley Lane PSAPs know that we will have plenty of PubMed information. The only thing that we would not be able to per se share would be the TV spots and movie theater commercials that we're actually purchasing to get the message out. Some people questioned whether PSAPs would need to have special capabilities. No. All the application, the startup, and et cetera, will be on the Tarrant County side using the VESTA platform. So the PSAPs themselves don't have to have any special capabilities. As with other text products where you had to have a separate computer monitor or system because it was based off the web. We also let them know that the training at this time would not take more than an hour, and we advise that most training is about 30 minutes. So those are the main questions that were put out there during the survey, and wanted to share those with the board before sending them out.
Any questions for the director? I'll start then. Item 6. Was this a question about will the district help fund an interface into the CAD? Invest in the CADs, I guess.
Correct. We reached out, or I reached out to several of our Texas 911 districts in the area and asked them what, if they'd done any cost analysis, and basically they said that the cost to for an API integration into CAD was so much, and with the low volume of text, it was that it was not worth it.
Okay.
And so that the PSAP that asked that will be receiving that information, and you know, we can definitely revisit at another time.
Sure.
But currently, that was a response that I got from most of the districts. It's just the cost was not worth the type of call volume that we're getting.
So all the stakeholders been formally notified of the intended date.
Correct.
The district has sent a letter formally notifying.
We have advised both in the PSAP managed meeting, and we will be going over it again in the survey that we put out. Yes, we also made it clear that.
I think we need to send it to the heads of government of all these other agencies we serve, so the governments are properly informed that it's coming.
Right, and that's the presentation that we created at the board's request. And that's actually the presentation I've been using when someone has asked for information, the very same one that we're sending to the mayors and the council. So whomever that we're speaking to,
so
is consistent across the board.
Go ahead.
We're planning on being at the mayor's council for April meeting, and the commissioner's court in March.
There's always a chance of us missing a mayor or two in those meetings. We could send something, a letter that just basically formally notifies the organization to this coming.
Yeah, we're usually missing 10 mayors at least, 10 or 12.
Right. Okay.
All right, and the last part is with Abby, we've already began to do some of the public education for Texas 911.
So, obviously, it's going to be the look. And so, I came up with a design. So, this is what. So this is the graphic that I came up with. This is actually, that's a lie, don't pay attention to that yet. This is the graphic that I came up with. It's to the point, and it's, and it doesn't, it's not too much, and the thing is too, is, and I feel you all know me by now, if we're gonna do something, we're gonna stand out from everybody else. As Shinar said, you know, with the Safety Smart Rally and things, we've been to 30 schools, and every time we ask that question, the kids are like, if they say yes, which is now actually two, but it's not a confident answer. It's a, I have a 50-50 guess, I'm gonna go with that. Here's the other thing too, as I was coming back from my holiday in Tennessee, when you go around Dallas, just about the cusp of Tarrant County, there's text to 911 billboards. So majority of the population, like Shinar says, already think we have it. So I don't think that, and I have talked to other dispatchers by going out and stuff, and I understand they're like, oh, one more thing. I don't feel that there's gonna be like this big influx of text to 911 because the general population thinks we have it. Around the rodeo time, I did ticket hits with the radio station, which was super successful because we went to grocery stores on Friday, Saturday nights when everybody's in there to give away the rodeo tickets for Dickie's Arena. And we took the Safety Smart Rally buzzer boards and took it there and hit the adult community by asking them questions. And one of them was the text 911, and nobody got it right. And everybody, just even watching their facial features, they were like, you don't have that? Like, I thought you had that. So I don't feel like there's gonna be a big, like people just assume we have it, but since the general population likes instant gratification, calling and then spitting everything out to the dispatcher. So that's what I see on my side actually out there in the community. But I feel like this would be a great graphic for that. And then Shinar did mention the movie ads. We're gonna, once this comes out, anticipated in July, since there's gonna be a new, a lot of new releases in July for the upcoming summer season 4 movies. the lady's gonna send me what's popular and what's going on, and we're gonna hit the central Fort Worth area because of tourists and things, and it gets too hot, and they're gonna wanna go in, and they wanna cool off in the theater, at least that's how I am. So I made this, and I feel like this is gonna be very effective when you're sitting in a dark theater, waiting for the movie to start.
It's on the right corner.
It's on the right corner.
There you go.
Okay, we'll start it. Thank you. I've been putting the public education messages out there, and then it won't, you won't have that big like flush that everybody's worried about. And then also too, everyone else around us has it, so when you do a big marketing push like that, everybody's gonna be like, oh, well, I thought you had it, and everyone else has it around it. So if you just release it just like it's already been out, and they already, then they don't know any different.
Perfect.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah. So on top of the movie theater ad that was put together, we are going to do a similar ad as we saw one or two meetings ago, where we had the members of the community reenacting the use of text 911. We reached out to several of the folks who said they would help put that together.
Let,
with us.
Let me know what you get. We get with the Rangers and some others. We're probably be a part of this too.
The Rangers.
You needed some high profile.
Gotcha.
People.
Okay. Definitely always take suggestions for sure.
Yeah, we'll try that. Rangers or some Cowboys.
Cowboys. Can the Cowboys really text 911 if you need a new hit code? Is that an emergency?
Let's go on record. That was the American.
All right.
So one last question. When we say July, do we have an absolute date, deadline date?
The soft roll is planned to be July 1st.
July 1st.
That will be the end of the 6 month prep time.
Is that on a Monday or a Sunday or a
that's
Saturday?
That's a really good question. We'll get back to you on that.
Wednesday. July 4th is Saturday.
So when are we going to start the training from the PSAP level? And then because the training is, in my opinion, minuscule, do we have the ability maybe to do a training, a video training for them through our training platform, through Talent LMS? And then, I mean, I feel like this is going to be pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Just well, to have an option.
We can definitely do that. We plan on doing train the trainer. And basically ask each PSAP to send a supervisor in to get the training, and then as the agency, you guys can train your folks in roll call or have people come in a few minutes early, however you want to do it.
Okay.
But we can definitely entertain potentially putting something on. Talent will have to reach out to Sophia, our online
guru,
and see what we can do.
I think that would be helpful for future generations coming in too, since we're doing the train the trainer now. That could just be one more thing that we could add to their training requirements. This just a standing training.
Okay.
I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
The next topic is rapid SOS update, and here I would definitely like to get some feedback from the board. As you know, about a year ago, we had advised the board we were going to start to test rapid SOS and see exactly the effectiveness for our area. As of 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, we have done about 10 test sessions with rapid SOS to include their engineers coming out here and testing with us both in the lab and on the street. And the reason why we've gone that far is because we had not had very good success with rapid SOS. We have found on many occasions the WPH2 we were getting from our local cell phone towers was better than rapid SOS. The two live sessions that they did with us in person here, they flew folks, engineers in, the results weren't very different. So rapid SOS is not a product of Tarrant County. It's not something we purchase. It's not something that comes with our Vesta phone system. It is an add-on that we can certainly put into the Vesta system. My question to the PSAPs, and I would like to send them a survey out to see what the majority thinks, is do you want it? It is truly an operational benefit, so it would require the operations folks to stop and think, is this something that we want? You train to it. It is an extra pin drop on the map to allow to decide whether you want your folks to have, you know, that extra tool. No one is saying it's not efficient. We definitely got some good results, but for the most part, there was nothing about rapid SOS in our area that put it so far over the top that I would say, well, let's get it as of tomorrow, you know. But at the same time, operationally, this is a tool for the operations folks. So if the operations folks wants us to go ahead and put that on there with the understanding that, you know, call takers are still going to have to do their job and verify location, et cetera, and train towards the two pin drops, then, you know, we will do whatever it is that the PSAPs would like us to do with the product.
Is there an option to have that as a layer that you can turn on, like we currently can turn on multiple layers? No, it's just there.
It's either there or not there.
Okay. But you're saying that each PSAP maybe could have the ability to decide whether they want that at their individual, or would we have to do that across the board?
It would be there across the board, and we would go, if the survey is the option that's decided, we would go with the majority.
Okay. What are they doing now to increase the reliability of the product, the data?
Unfortunately, a lot about what makes rapid SOS successful has more to do with the caller than it does with the software. One of the things that we have encouraged the PSAPs to do, and we'll do so again in March, is look at the FAQs on the rapid SOS site. You have to have the latest version of Apple software. You have to have latest versions of a lot of the Android. We still have two companies that don't give information rapid SOS at all, carriers. There's just a lot of caveats there, and it'll probably be maybe 5 years before every single person, the majority of folks, have a cell phone that is rapid SOS compliant. So, I mean, they're really a dumping ground. They're really a clearinghouse. When you call 911, whatever's in your phone goes to their clearinghouse, and it's either accepted or not, and if it's accepted, it's pushed to the PSAP. So, like I said, their engineers came out because our percentages were lower than what they expected, and they were kind of trying to figure out why, and they really didn't come away with a good reasoning as to why.
When you say percentage, what do you mean percentage?
So, percentage of calls in which rapid SOS location was better than WPH2, than the cell tower for which the person is calling from. So, and I guess, I believe nationally they said they were at what? Do you remember? Was it 80?
They said they were at like probably close to 90% accuracy, but that's not counting Sprint and their T-Mobiles that cannot send data whatsoever. So when they're pulling their numbers, it's statistics. They're pulling what they want to pull to sell. Yeah.
Right. Right. So if you have a Sprint T-Mobile service and their phones, you don't, your information doesn't go to rapid at all. And then those Verizon, AT&T, and others, it's based on the year of your phone or the operating software and et cetera. So there's a lot of caveats to its functioning. When that phone meets that criteria, they're saying that their average is about 90%. We tested only with the phones that they said met that criteria, and we got at the best, I believe, 53%.
And how much is this cost to the district?
No. Now, a caveat to that is Rapid SOS is also saying that they will be able to provide enhanced information, medical alert information, alarm information, etc. It is not available at this time. When it does become available for us to pull in that enhanced data, we've been advised currently it will cost the district money to purchase the enhanced capabilities. But currently, just Rapid SOS by itself does not cost us anything.
And it's not a significant improvement over what we have right now.
I don't see it as significant to the point where, like I said, I would say, hey, let's just do it. But again, it's an operational tool. It's a tool in which the PSAPs can take advantage of. And so we want to leave it in the PSAPs' hand as to whether they want us to go forward with it.
It would seem to me you'd almost wait until they can actually upgrade it and get all the other stuff that you would like to have.
Well, it's a twofold thing. The enhanced, the purpose or the best part about Rapid SOS is a problem that we in operations have had for years, and that is getting a good location for the caller. No matter what their problem is, if we can't find them, we can't help them. So that enhanced data really doesn't change our response. What that Rapid SOS's main, I should say, benefit to 911 is a better location accuracy for those individuals that can't speak, whether they're having an asthma attack, whether they're in a critical situation, whether, you know, they're deaf, hard of hearing, whatever the case may be. We can get, the point is to get better location accuracy from the beginning. That enhanced data, when it is available, will be sometime down the road. Our understanding, based on our testing and talking with Rapid SOS on numerous occasions, is it will get better, more as people buy the phones that are compatible and they can get Sprint and T-Mobile to jump on, than it is anything that they can technically do as Rapid SOS on their own.
Do you know who their biggest client is?
AT&T. Actually, it's Apple, to be honest, because whether it's AT&T or Verizon, the Apple phones that have the correct iOS service performs the best out of all the phones. But AT&T here, Verizon up north, are their main carriers.
It's best to have similar issues of other installations.
Yeah. Now, as far as location?
Yes, ma'am.
No. We currently receive the location based off the tower. The towers are programmed to accept all carrier services, so as long as the carrier service is on that tower, which we get updates 25 plus every day. They're always updating their towers with the most current services. So,
can it make the call go to the right PSAP?
I'm sorry?
Can it make the call go to the right PSAP?
Not if it's not routing correctly.
No.
Yeah. Or in the case of Sprint and T-Mobile, not getting there at all. I mean, that is ideally the goal, yes, because you're getting the best anti-allo data, right?
Yeah.
But if you're not getting that, then there's no difference.
How are managers reacting to this?
I think we all kind of feel the same way. We're ready. With Rapid SOS, it's just for us, I think it's just another tool. If we choose to use it, great. If we don't, I mean, our bread and butter is that anti-alley drop. I think it's a cool tool. If it works, it's just another piece of situational awareness for us to provide to our first responders instead of just saying, we only have one, well, here's the two.
Sure.
So
more is always better than less.
Right. And I think that they could always disregard it if they choose it as an agency decision that they're not going to use that piece of data that's being provided to them, much like half of the other data that's provided to us. The agencies are choosing what they want to use and what they don't want to use out of that.
So what are you asking for?
Well, I was going to do a survey and go with the most populous response and then bring it back to the board as a check off to go ahead either direction.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. Good with that.
All right, the next item is Z-Access. On page 16, there's a brief snippet. The snippet Z-Access is basically, we often talk about anti-alley for location. Z-Access means height. and that is the ability for the 911 centers to receive height information for a call. The movement began a couple years ago, very heavily sponsored by the fire departments of large cities. Very understandable, cities like New York and Chicago and Seattle have very tall office buildings. And what X and Y coordinates get you is to the building, but they don't tell you what floor. And so the Z coordinates is based on providing the 911 center some height information that they can be used to advise, okay, based on this many feet of whatever, potentially the patient is on the seventh floor. The FCC has been going back and forth with the carriers as well as public safety as to what this might look like. Height above ellipsoid. How do you compensate for cities that are already under sea level, i.e. New Orleans, and things like that. And they still haven't hashed out what that means. However, on page 16, you will see that the FCC has basically said, starting April 3rd of 2021, in the top 25 markets in the United States, Z-axis technology needs to be deployed. So, or available. Right now, we're in that top 25 of the cities. And so what we're trying to figure out is exactly what the impact is. What are the metrics that are going to be used? What is the data going to look like? And how do we effectively use that? The FCC, as well as the carriers, we're meeting regularly with public safety to try to figure out exactly what this means for us. And the reason why it's important nationally for us as a district, because we do provide the location with VESTA. So whatever this is, and we're still working with everyone to figure out what this means, there's going to be an onus on us to be able to receive it and do something with it. So myself, Kevin, and Gail are actually headed out to Atlanta this week. There's a meeting amongst the carriers, and the majority of that meeting for a day and a half is going to be about Z-axis. What are we to expect? There's a lot involved, the CAD vendors, telephony vendors, PSAP operations, about how we're going to take that data and make it useful. But right now it appears that there's enough pull that the FCC is basically saying, hey, this is going to happen, be ready. So that is essentially what the district is doing. We've been involved in several meetings. Next week we have a meeting amongst the districts to discuss this new legislation and some of the other things that have come out from the different carriers, and we'll bring back to the board. We'll keep you up to date because we don't know. We don't know what the financial impact is going to be. We don't know what may need to be done on the GIS side, on the CAD side, in order to make this data usable. So we wanted to fill you guys in on one of the things that we're trying to stay in front of before we fall behind it and wind up having to make a decision without all the detail.
Motorola is trying to do the same thing on the radio side.
And now that they own a lot of the CADs, Motorola is trying to be the one-stop shop and make sure all of their technology has the ability to capture Z-axis. So I do believe that. Last week, myself and Chantel and a good contingency of Texas went to NINA, or 911 goes to Washington. We had the privilege of speaking to probably about 10 or 12 House and Senate representatives and their staff. It was a pretty, very good meetings that we had. Chantel and I spoke with Senator Cornyn and Representatives William and Burgess's staff or office. The three things that were on the list that affects 911 operations was reclassification of 911 as public safety. Which has already been done in Texas, but the push is to have it done on a federal level. C-band auction. For those that aren't aware, there is a band out there, an electromagnetic band out there, that is currently being used by the satellite providers. No one owns that band. The satellite providers have kind of leased it for a while. And so the FCC currently has a proposal to take that band and auction it off for use. They anticipate currently, with that auction, raising about $15 billion. Of the six or seven items that they want to fund with that money, item number five is 911 Next Generation Interoperability. So that was kind of exciting that they even made it that specific. It didn't just say public safety, it actually said next generation 911 capabilities. So that was exciting. So we got a chance to talk with them and request their support for that bill that's out right now in the Senate. And then we talked with them about local funding. In the last year or so, I addressed the board and advised them that we're hoping to change the wireless fee that hasn't changed in over 20 years from 50 cent to something higher. We know that that requires a legislative approval. So we also, when we spoke to the representatives and the senators, we also put that on their plate as well to keep that in mind. So it was a really successful session. We got a lot of positive feedback. And so hopefully come next year, within the next year, we'll see a lot of great things come to fruition and some funding on the federal side for future next generation activities that we want to take care of in the state of Texas and on the district level. Questions?
All right. Okay, next we'll move to item 7.
Starting on page 17. Previously, we had reached out to AT&T and Entrato for a quote for Texas 911. And since that time, several of our neighbors have gone to the ComTech Texas 911 solution. As a district, we went out and visited or either spoke to several of our neighbors as far as how the ComTech Texas 911 transition is working, and the feedback has been very positive. So one of the biggest things we notice is ComTech is about 30% less than the Entrato version. So that by itself was good news. But then it also made us be concerned, why such a discount? And so we did a lot of research to see if we were missing something. And essentially ComTech's position is, we recognize this is a very low volume technology, and so they priced it to that, whereas Entrato did not. And we actually went back to Entrato and said, hey, can you cut us a break? Can you work with us? And their answer was pretty much no. So the ComTech version will save us over $100,000 per year, plus the initial investment is about $200,000 less. So this is one that I'm asking the board to approve, that we go with the ComTech version versus the Entrato version and move forward with that solution.
Any questions for the director?
The integration, is that fairly simple?
If we know what we're doing, yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Travis can get away with that.
Have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item 8.
Vehicle policy consideration. I included an updated version of the vehicle policy. It starts on page 25. Because we had some issues getting the board members to open the document, may not have had an opportunity to review it beforehand. So I would like to ask the board to take some time within the next month to go over the document and advise us of any updates or changes. And then next month we can move toward finalizing the document. And that's something that we're considering. I'm trying to provide the board with complete documents, and so that unfortunately the size is making it prohibitive for some of the emails. So we may start doing a regular electronic link so that we don't have to worry about getting the bounce backs and maybe missing it and someone not having the documents for review.
All right, next we'll move forward to item 9.
Chief Spivey likes to fly under the radar, but I'm gonna have to spotlight you out. He was just promoted to the PERF board. For those who are not familiar, the Police Executive Research Board is one I've been a member of for about 7 years, and they have brought in some great information, not just for law enforcement, but also they've taken time to include telecommunications in their considerations and their studies. And our chief has been afforded to the board.
Congratulations.
So you'll be hanging out with my friend Chief Harrison from Baltimore, who used to be the chief in New Orleans. So that's exciting. A lot of good information has come from the studies, and I, for one, have appreciated the work that's done there. So look forward to getting more info from you going forward. All right, starting on page 31, we have information reference the renovation of our technical operations offices, as well as our offices that have our storage in there. The last year we included in the budget, and the board approved that upgrade to put all our technical support folks in one room for the monitor setup, so they can monitor our very extensive IP network, which right now is located all over the building, the monitors. So we're going to get them all in one room and have them work from there. To date, and I appreciate the board's generosity, we have completed the training room upgrade. We're excited about that. As I mentioned before, the doors have been done, and we're almost finished the change of the new phone system. So we're plugging right along, and we appreciate the board being generous to allow us these upgrades. What I'm giving you guys today is just a copy of the bid that's going out. We used McDonald's Architect to help us create the bid. Once we receive the responses, we will bring them back to the board with our suggestions from both my humble self and people who actually know what they're doing, the architect and the engineers, as the what we feel is the best bid to go forward with. Questions? Okay. In June of last summer, the board had requested a subcommittee to review the strategic plan and our five-year goals. And at that time, we had appointed Mr. Brunson, Mr. Brooks, and...
Did we skip an item?
Oh, I apologize. Page 48. Thank you. sorry, Wayne.
It's all right. You didn't notice it. This is mine. I was telling Shannara that I hope I'm a better lawyer than I'm a businessman, because it's been over 10 years since we raised our rates, and I always hate to do that, but I've got before you a proposal which is, in my opinion, still well below market value, but it's the nature of representing governmental entities, and I enjoy that very much, and I think we do you a good job. So I wanted to request that we'd be able to lift our rates up a little bit and hopefully keep our business going while we're representing you.
Thank you. Any questions for Wayne?
I think Wayne's worth every penny. It's great fun.
Thank you.
So would you like a recommendation from the board? What's the purpose of this? Is she notifying us, or are we being asked to accept this?
You've been asked to accept it, yes.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
With a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Can you stay at business at that rate?
Hopefully so.
Okay, so the subcommittee. The board had asked us to create a subcommittee, and at the time it was Mr. Brunson, Mr. Brooks, and Mayor Griffin. And Mayor Griffin no longer being on the board, we do need a third individual in that subcommittee. And so I would ask the board to nominate someone so that we can get working on our 2021 budget.
We have a nomination or a volunteer.
I nominate Jim Davis.
He's not in any favor.
Well, he'd love you for that, Doug.
Okay, one more time, the subcommittee is going to be responsible for what?
So the board requested a review of our five-year plan and strategic plan going forward, funding, future NG911 updates and upgrades and et cetera for the next couple of years, and to just go over the planning, provide suggestions in conjunction with what we're going to talk about after this.
I'll volunteer.
Thank you, Mayor.
I'm not as tall as Mayor Griffith, but it's okay.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's always good.
All right. In conjunction with that, item number 11 on page 50, the board had asked us to reach out to a consulting firm, basically for the same reason.
No, I've got it. I'm just looking at my other. Always miss questions. Go ahead.
And we reached out to, actually we were reached out by a company called Garter Incorporated that currently does services with Tarrant County. And one of the things I like the board to understand is this is not a one-time deal. The cost of $242,000, they'll actually be working with us for 12 months. So that's not a bad deal at all. There, two things they're going to focus on immediately is going to be our IT network. We have been asked by the board, we've made a lot of changes and done a lot of things with new routers and network and security. So the first thing they're going to do is an assessment of where we've gone in our IT world, make sure we haven't missed something obvious, and then create suggestions for moving forward. The second part of that will be working with the subcommittee in reviewing the five-year plan, our next generation opportunities, and as well as any funding or budgeting thoughts and concerns that are out there to address that. So again, the amount is $242,364, and the proposal itself is here. It is DIR approved, so it's already been bid, and we are receiving the DIR rate for their services. And I'm actually pretty excited. We've met with them about three or four times now, met a lot of their team members, and they appear very knowledgeable both on the technology side as well as they have several members of public safety that work for them in their public safety departments.
So that cost is simply for them to consult and tell us what we need to do?
Well, we need to do review contracts. They're very good at finding loopholes, things we may have forgotten. Also, they'll do a lot of the research for us when we're looking at our next generation 911 upgrades that are due in about 3 years. We already know that we have to start figuring out what we're going to do next, whether we're just going to upgrade our existing system or change to something else. So they have the experience in the NG911 world to tell us what's out there and what they think will best fit our agency. And again, as I mentioned earlier, look at the things we've already done for our network and for our internal administrative processes and assist us in wherever we need. And so we'll use them extensively like the next 3 or 4 months, but then as the year progresses, as we continue to look at things such as Z-Access and other things, we have them in our, that we have their ear at any point. So it's not just a one report and do away. We have 12 months working with them. So that's actually pretty neat.
Who are they working with in the area?
Tarrant County is the agency I'm aware of. I can get you a list of other folks. They shared some national confidentiality with some of their stuff. They couldn't give me all, but a lot of government agencies.
Okay.
Several of the districts.
Mr. Chenard, I'm sorry, you said we're going to be working with them for the next year.
That's correct.
But they have an 8-week time frame at which they're going to provide what we've initially hired them for?
That's the first one, yes, for the IT. Yes. And also the budget, because they know our budget, first budget meeting is in May, so we've asked that after they meet with us, they can give us some ideas to create the 2021 budget.
Is there a security review in this?
No, that'll be our next part. They will review what we do have, but the actual security analysis, like was done 3 years ago, is going to be done by the next bullet point.
Okay. Any comments? Just give everybody a couple minutes.
No, that's fine.
Shamar, have they provided you with an actual agreement between the district and them?
It is on page 30 and... I think the other one I have in my email, but page 30 is for... covers the executive session summary, and then there's another one, DRR. TSO number with the contract.
So we'll talk about agreeing to pay $165,000 for the first, I guess, 8 weeks, the first two reports.
No, it covers the whole year, but they don't do payments or quarterly payments. It would be, we would pay up front, but it would cover the whole year.
Is that language specified somewhere? Because it looks like to me, once they deliver the final report and you pay them the $75,000 that's due at that point, we're done.
If you look, and I see where you're coming. If you look at page 5, it says that's the $77,000 for IT. It says the DIR annual investment. They would do whatever the subcommittee would request of them.
I'm just thinking off the cuff here, but maybe we want to bring them back.
I just want to see a contract saying you pay us $245,000 and you know, we're your service provider for a year. I see we paid them $165,000 and in 8 weeks they're done, but I don't see anything that obligates them to us or us to them for the remainder of the year.
I see a timeline in there, but I don't still see it as an obligation.
That's page 5. There's actually two components to the department shift. The first, the 175, is for the specific development of the 5-year business plan. But in addition to that, they also have seat licenses that allow people access to research papers, subject matter experts, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you get for the full year. And that math almost works.
And I can have them sent up, like on page 6, it shows the timelines. Originally starting in December of 2019, ending in December of 2020. So a full year, basically doing the original request that we had ending in what was then March 1st, and then from March until December, using the agency as we needed to in continue evaluation investment decisions.
So looking at that timeline, the way they've got it stacked, that's why I'm a little confused, because this last bar, obviously, 2020 Symposium and Summit Conferences, and they have that over the March through December timeframe, but I don't see anything that says
right, we have
they're consultative in that block, I guess.
We mirrored the Tarrant County contract, with this, which is an annual contract. There, we haven't per se assigned them anything between okay. March and December, so there was nothing there specific in that time frame that they had in there that they would be working on. After that, we would be using them as needed. So we would call them and request a meeting, and we'd tell them what it was referenced to, what we need their support on, and then they would come in and assist us.
Is this a pressing thing that you need approved at this meeting?
It does not have to be approved at this meeting. If there's something else that the board needs,
I think for me, bring them in, have a representative show up here so we can have a direct discussion with them.
It sounds like we're going to pay them $75,000 for the remainder of the year in case we need them, mm-hmm. without any true idea of what we will need them for, if we will even.
Well, I mean, I would say we would need them because we're working on our next generation ideas. We need to make a decision within the next 2 years, really, where we're going to go now that the CP project is done, which, as you guys know, that product is already 5 years old. So what their immediate assignments, the two things that are here, are meeting the needs that the board requested, review of our IT system and review of our five-year strategic plan. After that, then we have the opportunity, once we get the two hotspots taken care of, then we have the opportunity to use them going forward.
I'm with the chief. If we're going to spend this money, let's bring them in and let's let them answer our questions.
Am I okay with that? Mm-hmm. I'll come to the next meeting. And they can carry us through their PowerPoint.
Okay.
All right, so I guess we're... Talk about item B.
Well, that was all both part of the Gartner Associates proposal. Okay.
So let's go to item 12. Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to sound like a broken record. Legislative interim committees have basically slowed down to a crawl as members are in their districts campaigning for the primaries for 2 weeks. One thing that did happen since I briefed you last month, Senator Kirk Watson, who's been a longtime Democrat state senator in Austin, announced he is resigning effective April 30th. He's leaving to become the dean of the University of Houston School of Public Affairs. That's, in my opinion, a big blow to the Senate. Senator Watson is very, very smart, has a lot of institutional knowledge, and members are there's House members who are scrambling to decide whether or not they want to run for his seat. Travis County judge is trying to decide, several Austin City Council members. I don't expect anyone to announce that they're going to run until after the primaries in 2 weeks, but as soon as that happens, I'll certainly let you know and how that could impact us. Homeland Security and Public Safety Committee is not met. That's almost all of our bills go through that bill, through that committee, but I do expect that committee to start meeting after the primaries. We'll get more of these interim committees. We'll start meeting, then they will draft an interim committee report. That report will have recommendations for the session going forward. And then the only other thing I want to talk to you about is I'm basically going to nerd out a little bit on you. People like me and political pundits are closely watching presidential primaries to see how it's going to impact down ballot races in Texas. And if the House, Democrats only need to flip 9 seats to take over the House. They had great turnout in the last presidential election. If if the Democratic presidential nominee is someone who's extremely far left, who does not get the right of center Democrats excited, or even left of center Republicans who don't want to vote for Trump excited, obviously you're going to have much lower turnout, and there goes the Democrats' chances of flipping the House. So it's something that, you know, like I said, people like me are watching very closely. But we'll see what happens. But otherwise, it's just members are in their districts campaign. No news is good news.
It's good news. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, looks like we're going to go ahead and move into executive session. Pursuant to Chapter 551-071. Section 551-074, Section 418-183. It is 1:23. We are bringing the board out of executive session back into open session. With that, we'll move to item 15, public comment. Seeing no public comment, we'll move to item 16. Adjournment. We have a motion for adjournment.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
In a second. All those in favor. We adjourn. All right. We adjourn. So, my side.